Blog Talk Radio.
Skyrocketing healthcare and insurance costs. Extremely modest gains against chronic disease. Thousands die yearly due to drug reactions. What can be done? Thomas Edison is quoted as declaring, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but interest his patients in diet and nutrition, exercise, and the care of the human frame. He will teach them about the cause of all disease." The doctors of the future are here. Welcome to Phase 3 Wellness with your host, Keith Henry, ND, one of the doctors of the future.
Hi, and welcome to Phase 3 Wellness, and thank you for joining me on this Sunday evening. I'm broadcasting from here right outside of Orlando, Florida. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I am a naturopath, and I have a practice here in Orlando, based in Orlando, Florida, and I address healing from a Christian perspective, alternative medicine, complementary medicine, whatever you want to call it. We have a very interesting show for you today. We're going to follow the format that we normally follow, where in this first segment we discuss the Week in Natural News Review, where we look at, discuss, analyze articles that have come out with respect to directly, indirectly dealing with natural healing and natural medicine that has come out during the week. And then the second segment we go into, we deal with a healing food or a number of healing foods, depending on what we're talking about. And we actually have a very interesting show with that today. We're going to go, and that will be our second segment. And then our third segment, which is the healing supplement, healing herb supplement, we'll continue talking about some of the herbs and things and how to use them that we've been discussing in previous weeks. Again, if you would like to call in to the show with a question or a comment, you can do so at 917-889-2207. That's 917-889-2207. Again, remember to visit me at facebook.com/naturedoc. You can friend request me. You can also visit Phase 3 Wellness there on Facebook, the page, as well as the Phase 3 Ministries page. And we just have a load of information there. Also, remember, you can also listen to archive episodes of this show, and I think you will find it quite appealing, quite interesting. There's lots of information there. You can download the CD, share them with your family and your friends. Now, it is just after 7 here in Orlando. I'd like to give a special welcome to all of my friends in Costa Rica and wherever you may be located in the world. I'm going to take a really brief break. We're going to come back, and we're going to jump right into the show. We're not going to prolong it, for we have a lot of information to cover. And I'll be back in just a moment.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress, the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
You're listening to Phase 3 Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry. Be sure to listen right here every week at the same time. You can also visit Dr. Henry on Facebook at facebook.com/naturedoc. Thanks for listening, and here's to your health.
Hi, and welcome back to Phase 3 Wellness. Thank you for listening. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry, and we are going to get into our first article. Our first article today is coming from naturalnews.com, and it's entitled, "Not Natural for the Human," basically, for the human memory to decline with age. Let me give you the exact title of the article in the event that you want to look it up. I have to also open, I don't think I opened the chat room yet. Here, let me open the chat room in the event. So those of you who may want to go on chat, I'll put the links to the articles in to reference yourself, or you may want to read them, download them, or whatever. The articles that we discuss here. Again, this particular article is found at naturalnews.com, published on the 14th, so that's just a couple of days ago. It's entitled, "It is not natural for the human memory to decline with age. Such memory loss is a sign of disease." It's a very short article, but the author of the article, he points out how he basically starts off by saying, although the conventional wisdom would have us believe that people's memories naturally deteriorate as they get older, age-related memory loss is not found in all cultures around the world. The article goes on to say further, indeed, new research suggests that all memory loss is a sign of brain damage, even in patients who are not suffering from clinical dementia. Then he cites a study that was published in 2010, and he says researchers from Rush University Medical Center in Chicago gave 350 Catholic clergy members yearly memory tests for 13 years, and then they scanned their brains after they died. And they found that the brains of patients who died without ever experiencing memory loss showed no sign of Alzheimer's disease or strokes. Based on this data, the researchers suggested that all memory loss is a sign of brain damage, most likely early stage dementia. And then the author quotes one of the researchers, Robert S. Wilson, that was participating in the research, as saying, quote, "What we're saying is the brain changes that are mainly responsible for Alzheimer's and other dementias also seem to be mainly responsible for very mild early changes in memory and thinking." That's something that's very interesting to consider, that in our society we just believe that the older we get, we're supposed to lose our memory capacity, we're supposed to develop Alzheimer's, we're supposed to develop these different diseases, when in reality this is an assumption that's simply not the case. And so we can actually, as we grow older, if we live a healthy life, especially dealing with stress, and again, let me say this with respect to stress, we all have some stress, and it becomes a problem clinically when you call it distress. I mean, sustained stress becomes distress. And what we have to realize is that stress, I've talked about that here on the show before, stress can actually has been associated, unrelenting stress has been associated with brain damage, even with Alzheimer's and dementia and some of the other issues. And so, again, this article, this research out of the University Medical Center, Rush University Medical Center in Chicago, tends to indicate further that we don't necessarily have to begin to lose memory capacity as we grow older. But if we take care of ourselves, following those laws of health that you hear me talk about, if you've listened before, if you're a new listener, there are trust in the Creator, sunshine, exercise, water, air, rest, diet, and self-control or temperance. And a scientific application of these laws on a consistent basis can essentially cure or reverse most abnormalities, almost any abnormality that you can think of. Heal, I shouldn't use the word cure, but heal. And again, this article, if you happen to be on the chat, in the chat room, I just put the link to the article in there. And it's a very short article, but enlightening nevertheless. And you are listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. We are going to move on to our next article. Now, this article could very well have found itself in the healing food section, but we'll go ahead and deal with it in this section, and we'll deal with the article on asparagus in the healing food section, or we'll talk about asparagus in the healing food section. This particular article was also found from naturalnews.com, and it was published on yesterday, it was the 15th, and it was entitled "Onion Extract Colon Cancer Grows Just as Effectively as Chemo Drug." Very interesting article. And the article goes on to point out how researchers have just discovered that flavonoids extracted from common onions can actually slow the rate of colon cancer growth in mice just as effectively as a chemotherapy drug. The article says further, and while the mice on chemo saw their LDL cholesterol go up, a possible side effect of the drug, the mice on onion extract actually saw their LDL levels go down or drop. And the article goes on to point out further how in this particular study, the researchers fed three different doses of flavonoid extract from onion, an oral chemo drug or saline as control to mice along with a high-fat diet. The fatty diet was used, it says, to induce high blood fats and cholesterol, since that is a major risk factor for colon cancer, and many human colon cancer patients actually have this condition. The article says further that the highest dose of onion extract slowed the growth of colon tumors by 67% compared to the controls after 3 weeks, compared to the other controls after 3 weeks. The mice on chemo had their cancer growth slowed slightly more, but there was no statistically significant difference compared to high-dose onion extract. However, the article says there was a major difference in the side effects experienced by the mice. So basically, in a nutshell, they took a form of chemotherapy or a chemotherapy drug, and then they also gave these mice. They also gave these mice an extract, the flavonoid from onion, in the high dosages, and the onion extract actually had the cancer reduced the growth of cancer or the colon tumors actually by 67%. And as he points out, the chemo drug did a little bit better, but not statistically. So it was almost no difference, essentially no statistical difference. And so the article points out further how chemo drugs are known to carry some side effects, and the drug used in this study was no exception. And it says over 100 possible side effects are known when using chemotherapy, including coma, temporary blindness, the loss of the ability to speak, convulsions, paralysis, and collapse. And just, it's not mentioned here, but many people don't know that one of the side effects of chemotherapy is it causes cancer. So here you have a situation to where when people are diagnosed with cancer, especially late-stage cancer, and they hear from their doctors that, listen, if you don't take this chemotherapy, you're going to be dead or you're going to die or whatever the case may be. And in 9 out of 10 cases, probably, the cancer actually accelerates the death of the individual. Or many times the people would have lived a lot longer, maybe even recovered in some cases, especially if they decide to make lifestyle changes, maybe even go on a natural protocol or program, which is essentially illegal in this country. And and again, when I say it's illegal in this country, it's no doctor or basically anyone can legally treat cancer naturally. They have to basically use chemotherapy, surgery, radiation. And any licensed doctor, even any unlicensed practitioner, could get themselves in a world of trouble. And so when people are not really given their true options, now a person could self-treat or, you know, maybe counsel or have coaching with someone, but as far as just outright treating it, they could get themselves into a world of trouble. So it shouldn't be that way in a free country. We live in America where those of us who live here in America, where we should have freedom of our health care, but it's not necessarily that way anymore. Nevertheless, this article goes on to say more impressively, it says that the mice getting onion extract had total cholesterol and a polyapoprotein B levels that were markedly lower, as much as 60% lower for each than controls on the high-fat diet. So none of this is surprising, say the author, because onions are known to have the ability to decrease blood fats, and in a recent placebo-controlled clinical style, onion skin extract actually significantly lowered total cholesterol, LDL cholesterol on the atherogenic index to young women after just 2 weeks. The article says further, but how much onion do we need for a beneficial effect against cancer? Unfortunately, the authors of the mice study did not disclose what quantity of extract that they use. However, a recent study out of Europe, the article says, gives some clues as to what dosage of onions might have a meaningful anti-cancer effect. And he goes on to point out in this article how garlic, leeks, chive, shallots, onions, and scallions, or green onions, which are just young onions, are all what he calls alum vegetables. And he goes on to point out how previous studies have shown that these vegetables actually protect against multiple cancers. However, onions often emerge as the most powerful single vegetable simply because we eat more of them. And he goes on to cite a recent study from Switzerland and Italy, he says, has shed light on just how much we need, because he just noted that the previous study we were discussing didn't talk about how much of the onion extract we're giving to mice. He says eating up to 7 portions of onion per week had mostly minimal effects. However, eating more than 7 portions weekly, or one portion equals 80 grams, and he says this had the following remarkable risk reductions for cancers at these sites: 84% risk reduction in the mouth and larynx, and 83% pharynx, and 83% risk reduction in the larynx, a 73% risk reduction for ovarian cancer, a 71% risk reduction for prostate cancer, a 56% risk reduction for large bowel or colon cancer, a 38% risk reduction for kidney cancer, and a 25% risk reduction for breast cancer. He goes on to say all of these risk reductions have statistical significance except for breast cancer, which was borderline. Once again, also says we see that the healthy whole foods we commonly eat can actually have a major impact on our health as well as our cancer risk if we just consume enough of them. Indeed, as he points out, food is indeed the best medicine. Again, you are listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. As we can see there, foods that our Creator has given us have powerful, powerful healing properties, and not only healing properties, but prevention properties in them. And the studies bear it out. People who've been treated with foods bear it out. Now, don't get the wrong idea that you can just ignore other laws of health that we discuss and just eat a large amount of onions and be cured of cancer. That's not the takeaway here. The point of the matter is the research shows that as part of a very purposeful protocol with fresh air, sunshine, exercise, water, air, rest, appropriate diet, self-control, and the scientific application of these principles that we say are all found in the book of Genesis. They're all found there. They're given by the Creator. When rightly applied, this is just more evidence showing how when rightly applied, the benefits that are actually there, and it's not just a fable when we talk about these things. You're listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I want to thank you for listening. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, finish this segment, and then we're going to go right over into our healing food segment. Again, thank you for listening, and I'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to Phase 3 Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry. Be sure to listen right here every week at the same time. You can also visit Dr. Henry on Facebook at facebook.com/naturedoc. Thanks for listening, and here's to your health.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/wordpress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/wordpress. The Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
Do you know anyone that has health issues? Of course you do. Have you noticed the rise in popularity of natural therapies and alternative medicine? Sure you have. Have you ever wondered if alternative therapies work or if it's just all quackery? Then you need to visit the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog at phase3ministries.com/wordpress. Keith Henry, ND, is trained in natural naturopathy and provides amazing insight at the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog that he has gained from years of hands-on experience. Check it out after this show at phase3ministries.com/wordpress.
Hi, and welcome back to Phase 3 Wellness. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I'd like to thank you for joining me this afternoon, wherever you may be joining me from around the globe. And we have been talking about the benefits of onion and for cancer that we talked about earlier. And just like to let you know that, again, these, as I said before the break, these foods that our Creator has given us are very, very powerful. It's just a matter of knowing how to use them and how to use them appropriately and in what amounts to use them. In combination with all of the other healing properties that we talk about. Now, if you haven't done so, you can check out my book on Amazon. It's a Kindle version. It's only maybe $2.99. You can download it, and it's entitled The Biblical Foundations of Wellness. And you'll get an idea of just how thoroughly the Creator has given us the healing from practically any disease or ailment. And these are the broad principles that I lay out in this particular book. The sunshine, I talk about why it's beneficial scientifically, how it was first given in the book of Genesis. And I go to each sunshine, the exercise, the water, the air, the rest, the diet, the self-control, all of them, every principle. And I'm thinking about doing a few others in the future that deal specifically with specific ailments and how to specifically apply each and every one of those principles, depending on the particular circumstance. And so again, but if you want to learn about the scientific evidence behind those laws of health that I speak about, just go to Amazon and I think it's like maybe $2.99 Kindle version. And you don't have to have a Kindle to download it. You can have a Kindle app and put it on your phone for free, or you can have the Kindle viewer on your PC or whatever device you have for free, and you can read Kindle books, so you don't have to have a Kindle to read it. And so again, and if you don't want to pay the $2.99, every so often I run a free promotion, 3 to 5 day promotion, where you can download the book for free. And so you can do that as well. Now we're going to go back to our next article. We're still in our first segment here, the Week in Natural News Review. And in this segment, we are going to, in this particular article, rather, this is our main article for our show today, if you saw the headline, basically the risk, how you increase your risk of a heart attack with anger. Now, there are many emotions. Emotions affect us. We talked about mind-body medicine before, how there's a close sympathy that exists between your mind and your body. This is why it's so important when any doctor deals with your health, he addresses the spiritual, the physical, the mental / emotional. He has to address the whole person, hence the term holistic medicine. If your practitioner is not addressing all three, then you're not really being holistically treated or addressed. And so it's very important to understand the spiritual side, and this is why I always tell you that I choose to address the spiritual side from a Christian perspective. Some choose to address it from other areas. I believe that the healing, scientifically speaking and just faith-based, I believe that the Bible lays the broadest and the strongest foundation in harmony with what I believe the Creator has given us. And so as a result, any natural practitioner, alternative practitioner is going to treat the whole person in general. It's just many others choose other spiritual paths. And I choose to go based on the Christian path, for I believe that it is the right path. And I believe that, and I know to be true from hands-on practice, that the principles found in the Bible are very, very effective, and you would do well to become very familiar with them and familiar with how to use them in the preservation of health, spiritual, physical, mental, and emotional. Now, in this particular article that we're talking to talk here, it's really an issue of mind-body medicine or mind-body connection. Remember, when something affects the mind, it affects the body. When something affects the body, it affects the mind. In this article here, the author says, if there ever was a reason to try to stay calm in stressful situations, that's it. A new study finds that you may be more at risk for a heart attack or a stroke following an angry outburst. And then he goes on to point out how researchers were quick to add that the absolute risk to any one person of having heart problems following a single outburst remained low. But following a review of multiple studies, researchers determined that the risk did in fact rise considerably when compared to periods of calm. I'd like to also add to that, if you're a person that have problems controlling your anger and you're consistently angry about something or seething, just over time, you are setting yourself up for exactly what this study points out, a heart attack or maybe even a stroke. This article goes on to point out, it actually quotes Dr. Spiro Bangalore, who is associate professor of medicine at NYU Langone Medical Center in New York. And he quotes this doctor as saying, "It is not surprising that such an association is seen, since we know that anger is associated with increased reaction of the body's nervous system to stress." And then the article is going to say further, "The unhealthy reaction includes increases," and then he again quotes Dr. Bangalore, "The unhealthy reaction includes," and I'm quoting him now, quote, "increases in heart rate and blood pressure, both of which can have immediate adverse consequences," is what Dr. Bangalore is mentioned in this study. He was involved in it. The article says further that researchers performed a meta-analysis of 9 studies that were conducted between 1966 and 2013, which included more than 4,500 cases of heart attacks, 462 cases of acute coronary syndrome, which is the catch-all term that includes chest pain and heart attack, and insects in excess of 800 stroke cases and more than 300 cases of heart arrhythmia. And as reported, the article says, by Health Day News, the researchers found the following. Within 2 hours of an angry outburst, a person's risk of heart attack or acute coronary syndrome increased nearly 5-fold. Their risk of stroke rose nearly 4-fold, and their risk of a dangerous heart rhythm disorder called ventricular arrhythmia also rose. So let's think about that for a moment now. Within 2 hours of having an angry outburst, a person's risk of heart attack or acute coronary syndrome increased almost 5 times. Their stroke risk rose nearly 4 times. And their risk of a dangerous heart rhythm disorder also rose, all from having an angry outburst. Now, consider if you are an individual that has real problems controlling your anger. You're affecting your nervous system. And we're not even talking about the effect it has on your adrenal gland, etc. This is just your nervous system. And no doubt, anger does also affect more than just these systems. So the science shows that you need to be able to control your anger. And this is one of the things why the spirituality comes in, why understanding that you need to trust in your Creator to help you overcome weaknesses and debilitating emotional disorders, if you will. The article goes on to say further, scientists evaluating the study said they found that the risk was highest among those who became angry more often and had existing risk factors like prior heart problems, which makes sense. The findings were published online March the 3rd in the European Heart Journal, the article says. Then the article goes on to cite Elizabeth Matsuski, who is an instructor at the Harvard School of Public Health, who actually led the study, and she said that because angry outbursts are pretty rare and the effects appear to be transient, the impact on an individual's absolute risk of cardiovascular event is small. Although, she says, the risk of experiencing an acute heart attack event with any single outburst of anger is relatively low, the risk can accumulate for people with frequent episodes of anger, is what I was saying earlier. She goes on to say, this is particularly important for people who have higher risk due to other underlying risk factors or those who have already had a heart attack, stroke, or diabetes. For example, she says, a person without many risk factors for heart disease who has only one episode of anger per month has a very small additional risk. But a person with multiple risk factors or a history of heart attack or stroke and who is frequently angry has a much higher absolute excess rate, risk, accumulated over time. So the cumulative effect of anger can cause you or I to have a heart attack or stroke or cause irregular or dysregular heart rhythms, which could actually ultimately lead to a heart attack or a stroke. The article goes on to say further, some situations get out of control before you know it, but some experts actually say the best way to avoid risking your health is to never let it get to the point that you have to lash out. And he has a quote from a Beth Burgess, who is a dialectical behavior therapist specializing in anxiety and stress, and also the founder of Sort My Life Solutions. He quotes her by saying, quote, often an angry outburst is a result of pushing emotions down for a while or suppressing emotions. So a lot of times people will suppress. And you have to remember, suppressing emotions is like eating and not going to the bathroom. It's like having a constipated emotional state. And if you don't go to the bathroom after eating for weeks or months or years, you're going to be constipated. And you're going to end up with auto-intoxication where your colon is going to back up to such an extent that that filth is going to spill over into your bloodstream and can cause you to get sick, or will cause you to get sick. And so the same way the body needs to be cleansed and detoxed of this filth, your mind and your emotions have to be detoxed. So if you're suppressing feelings and suppressing negative emotions, you need to be emotionally detoxed. So you end up with emotional toxicity, which will affect your adrenals, it's going to affect your nervous system, it's going to affect all of your organs, because it's going to essentially end up in a stressful situation. And as she pointed out here, many people who hold these things in, they finally say, I've had it, and then they have an outburst. So some people even go on shooting rages and whatever else happens with them. So again, it's not a wise thing if you're a person who's given or have a tendency to suppress your emotions or your feelings. You're not doing yourself any good. Now, they need to be dealt with. They need to be talked out with the person who is causing them, who is draining your energy or causing you to, or you feel that they're causing you to lose control. And even then, in talking them out and discussing them, it needs to be done in such a way that you're not getting angry. It needs to be done in a fashion that you're actually communicating effectively and not shouting and screaming and just trying to get your point across, et cetera. But then that's a whole other topic when we talk about mind-body medicine or the effect of the mind upon the body. But this is very important. Now, we get back to this article. He goes on to say in his quote, if you suddenly lose your rag at someone, it's more than likely not the first time they have angered you. It's the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. If someone is doing something you don't like, address it the first time it upsets you, rather than enduring the problem silently and exploding when you can't take anymore, end quote. He goes on to point out how Professor Joshua Klapphaw, who is a licensed clinical psychologist and associate professor of public health at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, agrees. He says, quote, very often, people don't recognize the early signs of increasing anger. As a result, they allow anger levels to rise too high to control on their own. He goes, the author goes on to say further, other experts say the best way to keep your stress levels down is through regular physical exercise, which is true. Exercise helps to reduce stress. Also, reading the Psalms and reading about the Creator. And it has a very calming effect upon the mind. Reading the healing miracles that Jesus did, just reading these things, knowing and understanding, trusting that even though you may not have their issues that you can't control, there's someone who can control them. finally, the end of the article says, quoting Dr. Laura Napolitano, who's a psychologist at Bomar Hospital in Pennsylvania, she says, quote, "My favorite way to exercise is to take exercise classes before they work, because they work on a multitude of levels. They produce endorphins and they're social. Distracting yourself when you're stressed is a great way to put your problems in perspective," end quote. Finally, he says, Dr. Isaiah B. Pickett, who is also a licensed clinical psychologist in New Jersey and founder of Eye Opening Enterprises, says one way to keep stress at bay is to keep good company. He says, quote, "Connect with the right people," end quote. As social beings, few other natural strategies, he says, are as effective at reducing stress as spending time with people we care about and who care about us. We could do an entire series of shows on how these things affect us and how important it is to control stress level, anger, discontent, resentment. All of these things have a negative effect upon your mind and your body. And so, again, you have to be very, very careful with your emotions. This particular article, again, I'm going to put this article in the chat room as well. So if you want to go and read the entire article there, you can. Again, it's basically an article talking about how our anger can actually control us and cause us to end up with a heart attack or some other abnormality, especially long-term anger. So, again, remember, it's very important to understand not to be overcome. Now, we are going to flip over now into our new, or not our new, but rather our next segment, which is the Healing Food segment, which is a segment, a very popular segment, actually, amongst our listeners. And we may even do, in the future, an entire show just on healing foods, just going through the benefits of healing foods. And remembering that food is actually a very powerful medicine when used appropriately. As I said earlier in this segment, we were talking about the benefits of the right amount of onion being just as effective as particularly chemo drug. Now, the next, the food we're going to talk about in this segment here as we go into our healing food segment, we're going to talk about asparagus. And actually, I learned from one of my herbal teachers some years ago about how he used asparagus. And again, just for the record, nothing that I say on this show should be construed or meant to be a medical advice to cure, prevent, diagnose, or treat any disease. If you have an issue, always seek out competent medical advice. And so, again, one of my herbal teachers told me one of the very, very beneficial remedy that he'd used in his practice. He was running a clinic, a natural clinic. And he mentioned to me, in using asparagus, which we're about to talk about, he mentioned to me how taking asparagus, it was very, very good to help shrink brain tumors. And taking it and steaming it, likely to help release some of the enzymes that's in it naturally, taking it and steaming it and then blending it in a blender and taking a certain amount, I think it was, if I remember correctly, maybe 3 or 4 tablespoons of it a day, and putting it in the refrigerator and taking 3 or 4 tablespoons a day. And he mentioned to me how it's been shown to help reduce brain tumors. That's asparagus. Very, very interesting. And again, I'd just like to reiterate that this is not, should be taken, this is for educational purposes only. It should not be taken as I am seeking to treat, diagnose, prevent, or cure any disease. And so don't take it as something that you should go and try and use yourself. And then when it doesn't work the way that you thought it would work, you say, Dr. Henry told you to do this. Again, again, if you want to do that, you would need to be under someone who is very familiar with that, and it would entail more than just that as well. That would be part of a total protocol, but that would entail other things as well. So, as again, we're talking about asparagus. Now, asparagus is a member of the lily family, and it has quite a few health benefits outside of the one that I just mentioned. Number one, it contains a plethora of vitamins and minerals, which are known, which benefits the body. It has benefits that are known to benefit the functions of your body. Asparagus, let's talk about some of these. Asparagus has significant amounts, or good amounts, of vitamin A, of vitamin B6, of vitamin C, of vitamin K, riboflavin, as well as thiamin. Now, let's talk about what some of these things can do. As we've talked about these before, but I'd just like to revisit them. Vitamin A, for instance, helps support your eye health. Also, it helps your immune health as well. As well as the tissues, epithelial tissues like your skin and the lining of your intestines, as well as the lining on your lungs. All of these things are benefited by vitamin A, which you get good amounts of in asparagus. Vitamin C, for instance, again, you'll have measurable amounts, so good amounts in vitamin C. Vitamin C also supports your immune system. So here you have vitamin A helping to support your immune system. Then you have vitamin C helping to support your immune system in asparagus. Now, again, vitamin C is also a very strong antioxidant. Yes, it helps to mop up these free radicals that are going through causing damage and also causing accelerated aging. Like, for instance, if you take one cup of raw asparagus tips have about 0.5 milligrams of vitamin C. And that's more than of vitamin C that you would find in a cup of plums or carrots in the lowly asparagus. Asparagus is also high in potassium while being low in salt and sodium, but it also has an excellent potassium to sodium ratio. It has a low glycemic, what's considered a low glycemic food, so for diabetics it won't cause their blood sugar to spike. It's also low in carbohydrates as well as calories. Yet, at the same time, it's relatively high or has higher levels of proteins as compared to other vegetables. Other nutrients that you can find in asparagus also include fiber, iron, zinc, niacin, calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, sulfur, and even fructose containing constituents, if you will. Now, it also has a number of what we call phytonutrients, such as alpha-carotene. You've heard of beta-carotene. There's also alpha-carotene. Inulin, lutein, helps your eyes, quercetin, rutin. I'm not going to go into the details of what each of these do, but just suffice it to say, it is packed with a number of nutrients that our Creator has given us. Now, again, it also contains folate, which is important in preventing birth defects. You hear talk about folate or folic acid, and so the two go hand in hand. Basically, folate or folic acid depends on the form. It's very, very beneficial, again, for helping to prevent birth defects. You often find folic acid in a lot of prenatal vitamins. And so, again, folate has other benefits as well outside of helping pregnant or nursing women with their health and the health of the baby. It also helps the heart. It helps protect not only the heart but total cardiovascular health by actually keeping the blood levels of homocysteine in check. And so, again, if you have sufficient folate intake, scientifically, it's been linked with lower risk of certain types of cancer, in particular breast cancer, cervical cancer, as well as colorectal cancer. Asparagus also has, because of some of the nutrients it has, it's also exhibited some protective effects against cancer overall and other types of cancer, different types of cancer. And so just consider as in terms of the healing food for this week, consider asparagus and how very, very true it actually is. In fact, asparagus has even been used to, historically actually, have been used to help treat rheumatism and arthritis because of the phytochemical antioxidants, plus inhibitors of the COX-2 enzyme, which is what some drugs do for arthritis, because it actually helps boost inflammation. So a lot of times, historically, many natural health practitioners or herbalists or naturopaths or whoever, or just a basic natural practitioner, naturopathic doctor, whoever, they were historically have used asparagus to help treat rheumatism and arthritis. Not only that, under traditional Chinese medicine principles, asparagus could be useful for people with excess, quote, body heat and, quote, dampness, which are common conditions under Chinese medicine for herbal medicine. For people who consume rich, oily, highly processed, highly seasoned, and highly intoxicating foods, according to the traditional Chinese medicine philosophy. So again, we're talking about asparagus here, and it is very, very beneficial, and it's in harmony with what you've heard me talk about before in eating as close as possible to the garden as frequently as possible, and eating as close as possible to the colors of the rainbow, being Roy G. Biv, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. I just gave you a reason, again, why I say that in talking about asparagus. It's another food that's very, very rich in nutrients. It's a healing food. Now, some people say, well, I don't like asparagus. I don't like this. I don't like that. Well, the Creator has given us such a variety of different vegetables and fruits, et cetera, that there are many other foods that are high in phytonutrients, be they fruits, vegetables, nuts, grains, that you can get many of the same benefits or similar benefits that you can get from asparagus. Thank you for listening. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. I'll be back in just a moment. You are listening to Phase 3 Wellness. I'll be back, and we're going to start out when I get back. For the last 15 minutes or so, we're going to be in our last segment dealing with our healing herb or healing supplement, and I think you will find it quite interesting. I'll be back in just a moment.
How do you feel? No, really. How do you feel? Do you feel lively? Are you bursting with energy? Or do you feel run down and suffer from a lack of energy most of the time? Have frequent colds, aches, and pains of one sort or another? The fact of the matter is that most people in America are not well. But you can begin to change all of that today by simply visiting the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog of Keith Henry, ND, at www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Go there now and explore the wealth of amazing wellness information. That's www.phase3ministries.com/WordPress, the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog.
You're listening to Phase 3 Wellness with Dr. Keith Henry. Be sure to listen right here every week at the same time. You can also visit Dr. Henry on Facebook at facebook.com/naturedoc. Thanks for listening, and here's to your health.
Do you know anyone that has health issues? Of course you do. Have you noticed the rise in popularity of natural therapies and alternative medicine? Sure you have. Have you ever wondered if alternative therapies work, or if it's just all quackery? Then you need to visit the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog at phase3ministries.com/WordPress. Keith Henry, ND, is trained in natural naturopathy and provides amazing insight at the Simple Natural Health Secrets blog that he has gained from years of hands-on experience. Check it out after this show at phase3ministries.com/WordPress.
Hi, and welcome back to Phase 3 Wellness. Thank you for joining me on this Sunday evening. I am your host, Dr. Keith Henry. This is our final segment, the healing supplement or herb segment. And what we're going to talk about here, the last time we talked about, we were talking about the antibacterial benefits of olive leaf extract, of olive leaf. And it's just phenomenal herb, phenomenal. This time we're going to move on over and we're going to talk about Oregon graperoot, which is, again, another herb. And if we have the time, we'll go also over into passion flower, the benefits of passion flower, et cetera, after Oregon graperoot. If not, we'll plan to talk about Oregon graperoot, passion flower next week, as we'll start off by talking about Oregon graperoot this time. Now, Oregon graperoot is known by other common names, and like Algarita, California barberry, Japolinica, mountain grape, mountain holly, pepperidge, sourberry, soberry, and yellow root. Those are some of the common names. Now, usually in herbology, a lot of times you will see the Latin names as well, and the reason that is that sometimes the Latin name of a herb will tell you which part of the herb is being used or which species of a particular plant or flower. And sometimes that would tell you whether or not it's the root or the leaves or et cetera. So, but in this particular instance here, we just stick with the common names. Oregon graperoot is this one. And there are actually three species of Oregon grape. And one is the small creeping. And it's found in dry places such as ponderosa pine, et cetera. And they're actually, what we'll do because of time considerations, you would just leave it at, I was going to go into explaining the different species. This is why, this is what the Latin name sometimes indicate. But we just, for purposes of time, what we'll do is I'll just go through and I'll tell you the benefits of it. And again, basically there are three types. There are three species of it. And the name Oregon graperoot actually comes from its use as a medicine food along the Oregon Trail. And so this is why it's called Oregon graperoot. Now, Oregon graperoot is actually a bacterial infection fighter. Sometimes you see things that are more advantageous fighting viruses. There's some herbs that are more advantageous fighting bacteria. Oregon graperoot tends to be one that is a very, very proficient fighter of bacterial infections. Now, it's used both internally as well as externally, and it's also very, very healing for your skin. Not only your skin, but also your eyes as well as your mucous membranes. It has been used to help people with severe skin problems, because it helps to purify the blood and your liver of waste. And many times people who have skin problems, there are many causes, but one of the most common causes is that their blood is dirty and their organs of elimination are backed up. And so because their organs of elimination are backed up, as a result, the blood is impure. And so many times these impurities will begin to seep or come out through the skin. And as a result, they will begin to have skin problems. Now, that's not always the case. But it's pretty common occurrence. Now again, Oregon graperoot helps to purify your blood as well as your liver of waste. And actually also helps stimulate the function of your gallbladder as well as your liver. So it helps stimulate them to function better, both your gallbladder and your liver. And it is a bitter herb. So it stimulates or it actually improves your digestive function as a whole. The best known of the herb's constituents is berberine, which is actually a natural chemical that Oregon graperoot shares with barberry as well as golden seal. And golden seal is actually well known for its antiviral, its antibiotic type effect in the human body. Now let's look at some of the benefits of Oregon graperoot for specific health conditions. These are just some of them. This is not exhaustive, but this is just some of the benefits that it's been used for. I said it earlier, it's very beneficial for skin problems. So, of course, it's been used for acne, allergic rashes, eczema, and psoriasis. Oregon graperoot has been tested as a treatment for psoriasis and actually has been found to be very effective at reducing and preventing the lesions that come from psoriasis. In fact, laboratory research suggests that Oregon graperoot actually has some effects at the cellular level that might be helpful in the treatment of psoriasis, such as slowing down abnormal cell growth as well as reducing inflammation. Again, remember, anything that heals on the cellular level, this is where you live or die. Remember that. You live or die on the cellular level. We want to heal a body on the cellular level, at the root. This is one of the reasons that natural medicine tends to take longer than allopathic medicine, because allopathic medicine generally is just dealing with the symptoms, where natural medicine is designed, in most cases, to deal with, if you have a proficient health, natural health practitioner and you have a long-standing chronic illness or disease, he or she will understand it's very important to heal on the cellular level. Because remember, the cells are the basis of the tissue, which are the basis of the organs, which are the basis of the symptoms, which makes up your body. So you live or die on the cellular level. Remember that. So Oregon grapefruit has been shown in cases of psoriasis to help heal on the cellular level. Some of the research also shows that part of its action is to actually help the liver function to metabolize the waste and toxins. So if the liver is not functioning optimally, this often can manifest itself as skin problems. And skin problems can be treated both internally as well as externally. Again, remember I said earlier that when your systems of elimination and detoxification are backed up, your liver being being the main organ of detoxification, major organ of detoxification, different impurities and chemicals out of the body, it would make sense that if Oregon grapefruit actually helps the liver and the gallbladder to function more effectively and helps, thereby helping increase the effectiveness of the work of the liver or the liver in its work, then it would follow that it would actually help your skin and help clear up other issues with your inflammation in case of eczema and psoriasis, etc. A couple of other areas in where it's been found to be beneficial are in diarrhea and gastritis. Again, I said earlier that it has berberine, which is a natural chemical, and it's shown to be effectively, berberine has been shown to effectively treat diarrhea in patients infected with E. coli, because it actually inhibits the ability of bacteria to attach to human cells, which help prevent infections, particularly in the throat, intestines, and your urinary tract. So again, because Oregon grapefruit contains berberine, and berberine has been shown to effectively treat diarrhea, so it would make sense, again, that Oregon grapefruit, when taken in right amounts, can actually also help with diarrhea and gastritis. Now, it's available in capsules, ointments, tablets, and tinctures. And to treat skin problems, topical creams or ointments containing about 10% Oregon grapefruit extract are generally applied about 3 times a day to the area where the skin may be affected. So, again, there's several other herbs that actually contain berberine. And we're not going to be able to finish up here. With berberine, not berberine, but Oregon grapefruit and berberine as being the main active constituent. But we'll stop there, and because I'm about out of time, I've just been signified that I have less than 90 seconds, about 60 seconds now, been notified. So, again, I want to thank you for joining me here today on Phase 3 Wellness. If you join late, the replay will be available in probably about 5 minutes. Again, take a listen, take notes, download the CD, send the link to your friends and family. It's a gift, giving the gift of health. I'm your host, Dr. Keith Henry. Again, I'd like to invite you to join me back next week at the same time as we continue our quest for knowledge and our quest to divulge knowledge and wisdom and just try and help others along the path of good health, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Again, thank you for listening, and until next time, God bless.